just putting ourselves back into the swing of things from last week. There is a din in Hilchos Mazik Bor, and the Torah says that the only time when it's chayav, if you can fulfill the end of the pasuk of Ames Yelo, that the dead animal actually belongs to the nizuk, the person who suffered the damage, and he's going to be able to use it for whatever he wants. But obviously, his use for the dead animal is going to be very limited. He could feed it to the dogs, he could sell it to the goyim, other things he could do with it. Obviously, he's not going to eat it, it's an aveila. But at least the Torah calls about Ames Yelo. This comes to teach us that if you have a scenario where the mace is not shallow, that in fact the carcass is really off limits, there's nothing he can do with it at all, so then that becomes a problem, and then we don't really fulfill this pasuk for mace alone, and therefore the entire chiva bor wouldn't begin. So it's based on this that the Gemara had a drasha that if I own an animal, I was machdish the animal, and the animal got a mum, and I was pulled to the animal, it's what's called psulia mugdashin. If my psulia mugdashin, which is, although it's technically mine, if it falls into your boy, you don't have to pay for it, because it's not v'meis yelo, because what am I possibly going to do with it? Because it's halacha v'chalta v'lo l'kovecha, only I'm allowed to eat the psulia mugdashin, I can't feed it to the dogs. So since it's not called v'meis yelo, therefore v'meil is not going to be a chiyav for boring it. So that was a given, that was a gemara. In the first parak, that's how we started it, the gemara in the fifth parak, that's clear, that's given. The problem is that the simple reading of this Gemara is that Psulia Magdashim is off limits legamre. It means you can't do anything with Psulia Magdashim short of eating it. So although the Gemara always uses the phrase leklavecha, leklavecha seems to be an example, just an example of only Surihana. So let's say I don't want to feed it to my dogs, I want to use it as firewood. So that would also be also. Because if the drasha is telling me it's not called v'meis yelo, it means it's not yours. It means you have no use for it whatsoever. The problem is there was a Gemara tucked away in the second berakh of Psachim. We spoke a lot last week, where the Gemara talks about the person who ate chametz on Pesach that belonged to the Beis Hamikdash, and the question is the chayim ila, not chayim ila, back and forth. So the Gemara concluded that if the chavetz has any value to it, so then you could be chayim elam. Elam means that you stole from the Beis Hamikdash, you trespass something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. So if it had value to it, then you would be chayim elam. What possible value could this davishal hekdesh that was redeemed have? So the Gemara says it could have some value. It's possible for it to have value. The value that it has is it could be used for firewood. Used for firewood, wait a second, hold the phone. Using things for firewood, that seems to fly in the face of what we said. We said that when you have something that was nifta from Hekdesh, so it's off limits for anything except for eating, and now we're entertaining the possibility of using it for other kinds of hanos. So that Gemara Psachim seems to hold that the drasha v'chal l'klavecha is literally l'klavecha. It means there's a special, almost like a disgrace, to feed it to the dogs. You want to do other things with it, so they do whatever you want. So there seems to be a question between the two sukkahs. Agamar seems to be assuming that when we say l'klavecha, that means all hanos are off limit. And the Gram Sacham seems to be limiting itself only to the dogs. So at the end of the shiur last week, we pointed out that Tosus throws the hands up. And Tosus says, you know, there's no answer to this question. It must be a machlokes. Not the first, not the last machlokes. So machlokes, everybody agrees there's a drasha v'lo l'klavecha. And the Amoraim are having a machlokes what the nature of the drasha is. Is the nature of the drasha something uniquely wrong about dogs? Or is the drasha of dogs is just an example of other kinds of hanos?
It's a stam gemara, though.
Right, it's a problem. We pointed out that there's Morty's point in the end of the shiur on Friday. Now is it a stam gemara? It's Ravashi. Ravashi is the one who appears in that gemara and appears in that gemara. So we had a very, very big, very, very difficult thesis. So perhaps because of this almost like textual problem, that's a stam gemara and the names Ravashi don't seem to match up. Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim comes up with another idea, and this is what we left off with on the back of the page, on the sixth of the Mamre Kamos. Tosfos writes, "V'yishlomad gasidin ein poldin v'alfagat ein polach l'klavim." Even though the starting point of the Sugim Pesachim is that you're not allowed to redeem kachim to feed to the dogs, mikom makom shor lasek tachas tavshilo. To use for firewood is okay. Uche defrishes. Why? What's the difference? So here Tosfos differs greatly from what we said up until now. The halacha de kedushas damim ain't poldim mid the rabbanon, for lo goes rabbanon elish shalachil leklavim. Val heichad ain't poldim mid the raisa, tainu heichad the ika kedushas aguf ain't poldim afil lahasik. Says Tosfos, we totally missed the boat. Says Tosfos, there are two kinds of hektish. Briska Tosfos, there are two kinds of dvarim kedushim. There's what's called kedushas damim, and then there's what's called kedushas aguf. Kedushas, we'll start backwards. We'll start with kedushas aguf. Kedushas aguf means I'm makdish an animal, and I'm makdish it intrinsically, I'm going to use this animal for a korban. That's the ultimate kedusha seguf. What happens? Nebuch, this week's parasha, gets a mum. Now that it gets a mum, what am I going to do with it? I can't bring it as a korban anymore. So Nebuch, the Torah gives me another option later on in Parashas Bechukosai. If I have an animal that was niskadish b'kedusha seguf, it develops a mum. What I can do is I can redeem it. So it's that type of redeeming, something that was kadosh b'kedusha seguf, that the Torah puts the brakes on in Parashas Re'eh, and the Torah says, you want to redeem it, that's fine. V'yachalt of lo l'klavecha. You have to redeem it for your usage. You cannot redeem it for to feed it to your dogs. That's what the pasuk is really talking about. The isa deraisa v'chalt lo l'klavecha is referring only to something which is kadosh kedusha seguf. What if I have something that I was makdish, but it was never kadosh kedusha seguf in the first place because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't going to use it anyway? Let's say, for example, a person was makdish as pizza. What in the world is the Beis HaMikdash going to do with pizza? When we bring it on the Mizbech, you can't bring chametz with it. What are they going to do with pizza? So the answer is nothing. What they're going to do with it is they're going to sell it. They're going to have somebody come and redeem it. And then they're going to take the money, and then they use the money to fix something in the Beis HaMikdash. They can use the money to do some pedikavai, whatever is necessary, whatever the budget of the Beis HaMikdash requires. That's called Kedushas Damim. When a makdish something that's never going to be used anyway intrinsically in the Beis HaMikdash, it's merely going to be used to sell off and use the profits, that's a whole different kind of Kedusha. And there are many, many different dinim between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim. So argues Tosfos, this is one of the differences. The Isser of Yachalt of Lola Chalvecha, that pasuk happens to be talking about animals. That's talking about animals that get women. That pasuk is talking about Kedushas Aguf, not even talking about Kedushas Damim. When you're mocked, there's something because kedushas damim, like the pizza, you can be pulled in and do whatever you want with it. You can feed it to the dogs. Min haTorah, there is no issur of yachalta v'lo l'klavecha at all on kedushas damim. So why is the Gemara talking about it in Pesachim, about not feeding the dogs? That's what Tosfos says. That's an issur d'rabbanan. It's a chumrah. Maybe it's a gezeira. Also, you may do it with kedushas damim. Whatever the reason, it's a bizoyon. Whatever the reason is, Chazal instituted not to feed the kedushas damim to the dogs. But that, which is only midrabbanan, hey mamu, hey mamru, they made the takana, and they limited it, they formulated it in the following way. When it comes to feeding dogs, which is the ultimate disgrace, the worst of the worst thing you could do with the Adama Kadosh, so that they instituted midrabbanan, even on conditions dumb that was redeemed. But the lower level of prohibition, of not using it for firewood, lo tiknu, they were never goyzer, they never made that takana. So when you're dealing with the Issur D'oraisa of Lola Klavecha, like in animals, like in the case of boar, like in Arash Sugin Mavakama, when an animal falls into a boar, an animal had a mum, it was redeemed, and now it falls into a boar, so you want to know, Rabbi, what can I do with it? Come and ask Kishala, Rabbi, can I use this meat for anything? The answer is nothing. No way. Why? Because Al Zed Namar, this is the Gzeres HaKosa, this is the Issur D'oraisa, V'yachalt of Lola Klavecha, and whenever the Issur D'oraisa kicks in, all her nose kick in. Now, the fellow in Pesachim Daf Chav Tes wants to know, he's got a pizza that he was makdish, and he wants to redeem it. He wants to know, can I feed it to the dogs? We say, Minatori, Yeba Midrabanano. He wants to know, can I use it for firewood? Yeah, you can use it for firewood. Since you can use it for firewood, therefore it's subject to Me'ilah, therefore it has some value to it. So when all the dust settles, it tells us the answer to the question, can you do other things with Dvarim Kedoshim that were redeemed? The answer is, it depends. If it was Kaddish Kaddish Zaguf, the answer is no. If it was merely Kaddish Zdam, the answer is yes. So we have two different opinions in Tosfos. How do you resolve the contradiction from last week? Do we throw our hands up and say it's a contradiction, it's a machlokas, and there's no resolution? Or do I say no, there are two very, very clear and distinct categories? The answer is sometimes other anos are mutter, sometimes other anos are aser. So up until this point, it seems no matter how you answer this question, if you take something which was Kaddish Kaddish Zaguf, like an animal, you will mark the shit to bring as a korban to the Mizbeach, it develops a mum like in this week's Pasha, you go ahead and redeem it like you do in Pasha's Bechukosai, have an animal that's a full-fledged psuli hamukdashim, it sounds like I have to be very, very weary with what I can do with it. I cannot feed it to the dogs. Other animals, maybe, maybe no, but dogs is out of the question. So it's with this background that we have to take a look at the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, where the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Bechora, Staflam Abeis, and Abeis, it's coming right around the bend of Yomi, should be around in a week or so, so we'll give a little coming attractions. So the Gemara, and Bechora, Staflam Abeis, and Abeis, quotes the following discussion. Desanya, Bechor, I have a bechor, and a bechor is supposed to be brought as a korban, but it developed a mum. So a bechor that develops a mum also becomes psuli hamukdashim. We mentioned last week, it's classic psuli hamukdashim, except for the fact that you don't have to actually redeem it. Other animals that were niskadesh have to be redeemed. Bechor, that got its kedusha because it was born, so almost easy come, easy go. It got its kedusha through birth. Once it develops a mum, the kedusha disappears. It automatically becomes psuli hamukdashim without an actual act of pidyon. But lebaisa have a bechor, it has a mum, it's not going to be brought as a korban anymore, it's psuli hamukdashim, what do I do with it? So the b'raisa says, bechor einimin alav ala chabushi kol hakohanim de b'shamay. So first of all, it's a matnas kohen, I have to give it to a kohen, it's a mitzvah to give it to a kohen. So b'shamay says that not only do I have to give it to a kohen, but only the kohanim are permitted to eat it. They're not allowed to invite a Yisrael to join them for dinner, even though it's not really kadosh, it's not really a korban, it's psuli hamukdashim. B'shamay says no, only kohanim are allowed to eat it. And Beis Hillel say, no, it's psuli hamukdashim. It doesn't really have kedusha anymore, and therefore even non-kohanim are permitted to eat it. Rabbi Akiva mata filu ovi kechavim. Akiva goes one step further. You can invite a goy, you can invite your next door neighbor, you can invite your boss, you can invite your co-worker. There's no kedusha anymore. Anybody and everybody is permitted to eat it. So the Gemara raises the question of Rabbi Akiva. How did Rabbi Akiva know such a drasha? So Rabbi Akiva in the 8th of the Ramah Komos, let me give him an alf by time to Rabbi Akiva. It's exactly those two words. Katzvi v'chayal. The Torah says about psuli hamukdashin, rakas damo lo sochelu. It says, "Hatami v'tor yachtav katzvi v'chayal." It's treated like deer meat. It's treated like antelope meat. You're allowed to invite your non-Jewish boss to eat the deer meat. You're allowed to invite them to eat the antelope meat. You're allowed to. So you can invite them to eat the psul magdashim as well. Matzviva yal mutal of the ichavim, a psulim mutal of the ichavim. So Rabbi Akiva dashes from a posuk, the psul magdashim is het the gomer. You're allowed to feed it to the non-Jews. So Tosus raises a question. Wait a second. How do we understand what Rabbi Akiva just told us in light of everything we know about psulim magdashim? We've been learning up until now that psulim magdashim are not a nothing. Psulim magdashim are not regular chulin. Psulim magdashim are kishvam kenu, the magdashim that became pasul, and you still have to be very, very careful with what you do with it. And the absolute prohibition to be done with it is to feed it to the dogs. V'yachalta v'lo l'klavecha. Now, obviously, in no shape or form are we literally equating the non-Jews with the dogs, but if you think about it, that they both of them should be equal of not being a fulfillment of Yachalta. When the Torah speaks to us and says, V'yachalta, you should eat, so that's tantamount to saying, you. Who is the you? Who is the subject in that passage? V'yachalta, the Torah speaking to the Jews. So the Torah is saying, you who have Kedushas Yisrael, V'yachalta, who cannot eat, L'klavecha, Goyim, etc., anyone who's not included in Yachalta should be off limits from eating. This is not all that different than another halach we have, let's say, if it comes to Ochel Nefesh and Yontif. So the Torah says, Hu levado ye'aseh lochem, you are allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook for yourselves in Yontif. You're allowed to carry food for yourselves in Yontif. You're allowed to prepare food on Yontif. So who are you not allowed to prepare food for? Whoever is not lochem, whoever the Torah is not speaking to. Who is the Torah not speaking to? The Torah is not speaking to the non-Jews. The Torah is not speaking to your animals. The Torah is speaking to human beings who happen to be Jewish. So only you're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Jews. You're not allowed to prepare animal food on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov. So it's the same type of a drush. And again, we're not saying in any derogatory phrase whatsoever. But lemaisa, the Torah is speaking to us. It's not speaking to others. So too over here, Tosfos says, wait a second. If on the one hand we have a din that v'yachalta v'lo klavecha, how could Rabbi Akiva turn around and say, you can feed to the goyim, no problem, het the goyim, we feed to the goyim. Why isn't that an ultimate violation of v'yachalta v'lo klavecha? So Tosfos in the 9th of the Ma'amar Koma solves the problem. Tosfos says, demide de lo chazi li Yisrael, asu l'achil l'kelev u l'avdi k'chav. Tosfos says that if you have psuli hamukdashim that weren't shechted, the animal died on its own, or you tried to shecht it and you goofed and you made it into a nevela, or you shechted it and you realized that it's a treifa. If it's a type of an animal that lemaisa hilchus kashrus dictates, you as a Jew cannot eat it, that's the pasuk v'yachalta v'lo l'klavecha. That's the pasuk v'yachalta v'lo l'yakom. Namely, you can't take psuli hamukdashim and only feed it to the dogs. You can't take psuli hamukdashim and only feed it to the goyim. Like in the case in our sugya, the animal fell into the pit. What do you do with this animal? It's a nevela. So there's no way that a Jew is going to be eating this animal. The only possible way to consume this animal is to feed it to the dogs. So that's where the Torah throws at you and says, no, don't do that. You can't do that. If you're going to take the psulim Magdashim and just put it in as dog food, that's the violation of this Issa. It says Tosos, that would also be Yosef HaGoyim. Let's say my psulim Magdoshim fell into the boar, it dies, I want to give it to the next door neighbor, to the non-Jew, that would be an Issa Deraisa V'chat Lo Klavecha. So the Issa of a Lo Klavecha is only when, Tosos says, the key words are Lo Chazal Yisrael. It wasn't fit for the Jews to begin with. Aval, now Tosos says in contrast, Mide de Chazal Yisrael. What if it started out, it's permissible for the Jews, how is it motivated for the Jews to shecht it properly? Kevin Sheniftu, once it was redeemed, Shari Litan Lekelev. Then and only then you are permitted to give it to the dogs. V'hainu taima. This is the reason. Didashinan v'yachalt of lo klavecha. So Tosus puts a big klomar on it. Whenever the Rishonim say klomar, that's a dead giveaway saying that you need a lot of work to try to explain how klomar. It's as if to say. So klomar, the drasha v'yachalt of klavecha, Tosus puts a whole new spin on. Klomar, dovar she'ein omed ela leklavecha. Something that's nebuch, only edible to dogs, can't be fed to the dogs. Avalecha de chazil lididei, but if it's already fit for him, ishteru legamre, then you can do whatever you please with it. The iskish l'tzviva ayal, that's a mekivas drasha, that's the posuk tzviva ayal, that the Torah compares Sulei Magdashim to the deer. So what did Tosfos just do for us? Tosfos just took two different psukim in the same parsha, the same couple of psukim in Parshas Re'eh, and took two dinim de'araisa, and in effect showed us when one pasuk applies and when the other pasuk applies. Because if you look at the model of Sulei Magdashim, it's almost like an internal contradiction. On the one hand, the Torah is screaming at us, V'yachalta, the Torah Shrapes saying, V'lo l'klavecha, V'lo l'goyim, the goyim can't eat it, and the dogs, nobody can eat except for you. It's very, very kaddish. It has so many restrictions on it, V'chal l'klavecha. And then a half a pasuk later, the Torah says, oh, by the way, do whatever you want with it, katzvi v'chayo. The same way you eat your deer, you can eat this also. So, which model is it? Is the Torah restricting the use of psulim magdashim, or is it extending the use of psulim magdashim? So Tosfos says that the answer to this deep, dark riddle is very, very simple. If a Jew can already eat it, once it's mutter to the Jews, then the gezeirah kasuv of katzvi v'chayo kicks in, and then anything and everything is mutter. You can feed it to the goyim, feed it to the dog, whatever you please. But if it's not yet Svivayal because it was a nevela, because it was a trefa, so the heter of you eating it never was chal. If the heter of you eating it was never chal, and all you want to do with it is feed it to the goyim, all you want to do with it is feed it to the dogs, that's an issur d'oraisa. Al zeh ne'amar, that is the intention of the Torah of Yachal v'lo klavecha. That's Tosfos' resolution to this problem. But if you notice that according to Tosfos, in a case where it's mutter, so everything goes. Even dogs. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with feeding psulim magdashim mamish to a dog. I had the Torah screams below klavecha. That's not what it means. Klomar. That means if you can't eat it, then the dog can't eat it. But if you can eat it, then the dog can't eat it. So in the 10th of the Rambam comes to Rashba in Chulin Daf Samach Tes, takes Tosfos 9/10 of the way and then disagrees at the very end. So comes to Rashba and says, V'kashalon. Have a bechoros parakol psulim magdashin amrinan the bechor mutter b'hana umezamnen alav. You can invite anybody to the meal to eat the bechor. V'yafilu nochri even goyim. This not also b'shami omim lo yimne yisrael makoyin ala bechor. B'shami's view was that a Jew, a regular Yisrael, cannot join a kohen in eating a bechor. U'beisal matir nefilu nochri. That was the same as Rabbi Akiva that even goyim a mutter. V'tirtzu rabbeinu b'alei Tosfos atzal. So now the Rashba is quoting Tosfos. But you have to always be careful when a later Rishon quotes a Tosfos, you have to always question which Tosfos is he quoting. Now, the version of Tosfos that we have is not the only words of Tosfos. The word Tosfos, there was no person called Rabbi Tosfos. Tosfos was hundreds and hundreds of Tamidim, who Tamidim of Rabbeinu Tam, Tamidim of the Ri, who put together different questions and different answers in different places, different Masechtas. And the Tosfos that we have and different mesechtas are from different schools, from different, some of them are from Tosfos Rabbeinu Eliezer Mituchin, some from Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. There are different versions of Tosfos from different, emanating from different Talmidim. They all have the same roots back to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. They're all from the same basic yeshiva, but there are nuances of differences. So every once in a while, let's say you're learning a sugya, you read a Tosfos, and then you'll open up a Tosfos Rosh. So you'll say, wait a second, there's a different word in there. And then you'll open up a Tosfos Shant. There's a little bit of a different word in there. And you have, again, you have nuances and differences. So when you find that a Rosh is quoting Tosfos, Lav Dafki's quoting the Tosfos on our page, he can be quoting the Tosfos that he had, the Rosh had access to, and it may not say exactly what it says in that Tosfos. There are different opinions within the Bava Tosfos themselves. That's why when you find steerers, you find machloksim. Tosfos Bava Kama said this, and Tosfos Chun said that. So it's not a guess, like saying the Ramban said that, and the Rashba said that, the different people. So that there is no one person called Tosfos. So comes the Rashba and says, V'tirtzu Rabbi Seinu Balei Tosfos Etzal, the chol heicha de shari li Yisrael, whenever it's permissible for a Jew, kugon shenafa bomum, shari afil lezaman lovas anachri, then you're permitted to invite a non-Jew. The iskish le tzvi v'ayal, because then it's compared to tzvi v'ayal, and tzvi v'ayal is a matir. Aval le klovim, osir, but to give it to the dogs, that's a problem. Mevi achalt of lo le klovecha. What did the Rashba just say? The Rashba was talking about a case when it's mutter for a Jew. That's how he's starting out. I shechted it. It's not a treif, it's not an avela. I'm sitting down and eating it. And the Rashba says, and therefore I can invite a goy, a filozamas and nochri. What did the Rashba say in the same breath? But dogs, forget about. Dogs are out of the question. Not even a half a bit. A dog is also why? But if it's also for a Jew, therefore you can't use it for anything. You have to bury it. You can't even feed it to the goyim. So what did the Rashba say? Is the Rashba identical to Tosfos? No. Is it similar? Yes. The same way that Tosfos said there's a difference between whether it became permissible to a Jew or not, so Rashba says the same thing. If it wasn't permissible yet to a Jew, then everything is off limits. Can't feed dogs, can't feed goyim, everything is off, sir, if it wasn't permissible to a Jew. But if and when it became permissible to a Jew, so then everything is mutter, with the exception of dogs. Dogs is an objective isser. V'yachalt l'klavecha, nothing to discuss under all circumstances. V'yachalt l'klavecha is not affected by the gzeras hakasuv tziva ayal. So Tosfos and the Rashba are similar in that they're both drawing a distinction between was there a heter for Jews or not a heter for Jews. If there was no heter for you, so then everything is off limits. If there was a heter for you, so Tosfos said everything is on limits, everything is okay, and the Rashba says almost everything is okay. Dog stands as a separate independent issur. So halacha lemaisa, this is a real shalom. This is a real machlokes of rishonim. So you're probably wondering, what do I mean halacha lemaisa? The answer is you do. There are shalos of psulim mekdashim. There were shalos of psulim mekdashim. So we spoke about this in the past, that the dinim of bechor still apply b'zman hazeh. If a person has an animal, firstborn, it's a firstborn male, it's kadosh, full-fledged kadosh mekdushas bechor. You can't bring it as a carbon, okay? So it's still kadosh b'kedushas b'chor. You live in Chutz Lord. We assume the halacha doesn't make a difference. It's still kadosh b'kedushas b'chor min haTorah. So we usually don't have these shadows that come up because even those of us who, not myself, but those who own animals, so we'll usually sell part of the mother to the non-Jew before the firstborn is even born to circumvent the halacha of b'chor. But even though that's the practice today, and that has been the practice for quite some time, to sell part of the mother to avoid all the dinim of Bechor, every once in a while people goofed, every once in a while people forgot, and they didn't sell the Bechor properly. So the poskim in Europe discussed this. There are dinim in Shulchan Aruch, Sibarim Shulchan Aruch, that were very practical, lo lemais, until not all that long ago, for the people who forgot to sell their animal. They didn't realize the animal was giving birth, and they couldn't find the guy, and then the animal gave birth, and now the mom is stuck on their hands. Nebuch, they have an animal that's running around, Kadosh B'Kadosh B'Khor. So what do you do? So there are pages and pages in Shulchan Aruch that talk about, what do you do with mice in Europe in the 1800s? You got an animal, and now it's Kadosh B'Khor. What do you do with it? So the answer is very, very little, because you're not allowed to work with it. You're not allowed to shear its wool. You're not allowed to shecht it because that's tenth amount of shechti a carbon. That's kedushas carbon to it. That shechti a carbon chutz the mikdash. That's a disaster. So the only thing you can do is wait for this week's parsha to happen for the animum, But the problem is you can't even make it get a move. You can't even help it along. Because the Torah says, Komum lo yabo, and the Torah Shabbat explains, lo yahayabo mum. You're not even allowed to make it get a move. So your hands are mamish tied. So you have to leave the animal running around with its long hair, but it's never going to get cheered, never going to get work, never going to check it, running around wild, and hoping and praying, saying, tell him that it breaks a leg or something. And something happens to it, that it gets a little bit of a mum. And once it gets a mum, then you have to bring it to a Beis Din to ascertain that it actually has an acceptable mum. This will play out even Bizman Azeh. And at the Beis Din, you have to first find people who are knowledgeable in Huchas Mum, the Pasuk in the Shaila. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there were three levels of smicha. There's Yora Yora, that's the Pasuk in, you know, Kashra Shaila, Shabbos Shaila, you know, Isabel the Shaila. Then there's Yadin Yadin, the Pasuk in Dinim Mamun Shaila. And then the Gemara says the third level of smicha that Chazal instituted was Yate Bechoros. That's the highest, highest level. I don't know anybody today I don't know any yeshiva that's offering Yate Bechoros, the program. I remember when years ago, when we were learning Masechet Bechoros with Rabbi Feldman, Rabbi Dan Feldman, myself, learned Bechoros together many, many moons ago. So we said we were the first members of the YU Yate Bechoros Kolo, but nobody was willing to, there was nobody around to confirm Smicha. No one had Yate Bechoros Smicha, so we never got it either. So, the Gemara says that one of the requirements to get Yate Becheres Smicha is not just to learn the sugyas, we have to go spend a few months on the farm also. The Gemara says that Rav, before he got Yate Becheres Smicha from Rabbi Danasi, so he spent 3 months with the farmers. He had to learn what an animal was. You can see a lot of shtickle terrors in Becheres, but you have no idea what an animal, what a broken arm is. So then we have to give you that Smicha. So you have to find somebody who knows what they're talking about, or if it's a clear, blatant mum, that's so obvious, it's a positive chumash, okay, that would be something else. But if you want to talk about the intricacies of movement, you have to find people who are knowledgeable to pasuk in the shaylas. And then, if and when you get a psak, then it's okay, so now it's mutter, now you're allowed to shecht it, becomes psulei mukdashin. So you're allowed to go ahead and shecht it, and that you have to give it to the kohen, because it's matnas kunas. So you give it to the kohen, it doesn't really have kedusha to it in the full sense, so the kohen can invite you back to eat with him, that's what we said. And he can invite a Yisrael, that would be okay, that's all fine. He can even invite a Goy, because we passed like Rabbi Akiva, Matafil of Gichom, everything is okay. So now in Shulchan Aruch, there are two days that are quoted. In the post with Shulchan Aruch, now quoted Machlokes. So now we have this Yisrael in the 1850s in Europe. He's got his sheep that had Kedushas Bechor. It finally got him, finally broke its leg. Baruch Hashem, it broke its leg. Now it's a Baal Mum. We got somebody to ascertain that it's a Baal Mum. We shechted it. We invited all the Jews. The Kohen decides to invite his friends Yisraelim, his Levium. He invites the next door, the Russian neighbor he invites. Everybody's eating together with Tevye. They're all having their meal and everything. And now the shadow becomes, he wants to give part of that meat to the dogs. Now what's the din? Is he allowed to feed part of that meat to the dogs? So believe it or not, it's like he's Tyson the Rashba. Right. So according to Tyson, it's Mutter. What did Tyson say? Midei de Chazli Yisrael, Kevich Niftu, Sharli Ten Lekelev. That's Tvivayol, Het the Gomer. And the Rashba would say that's an Issa de Raisa. To give it to the dogs is off limits. Vechal Klavech, under any and every circumstances, that's off limits. So in the post Shulchan Aruch, talk about this very topic. So again, in Bergenfield, Tina, 2019, not the most common Shaila, but back in Europe, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, this was a real, it happened every once in a while, that the person goofed, and he ended up with a Psuli HaMukdashin, and then the question is, what can you do with it? So let's say a person can't finish all the meat, some of the meat it doesn't taste so good, he wants to feed a little bit to the dogs, according to half to Hisham, it's this is their ice, and to do that, that is Vechat Lo Klavecha, and according to Taisus, that's at the Gomer, that's not called Vechat Lo Klavecha. Anymore once it's Mutter Yisrael. So believe it or not, there are some applications, quasi lemaisa, of some of the things that we're talking about. Hopefully that's it tomorrow, so we're going to move on to the next sheet, which is going to set the stage for, it's a continuation of the boar story, but it's going to be real, real lemaisa. Some actual shilas that are going to emanate, believe it or not, also coming off of the Psalm of Dashim, but becoming more real lemaisa even Bizman HaZeh. So that's tomorrow. We'll